Well, hi there, everybody. God bless you. And I just want to thank Barney and Vicki and Bob and Jeannie and Jan and for the opportunity to share the word, something that is a passion for me, something I love so much because I love God's word and I love the things he shows me and to have an opportunity to share it. What I'd like to share on tonight is regarding the hope, something that Bob had said was going to be the theme for the year. And an aspect of the hope that I found intriguing this past week. One day last week while I was out running errands, I stopped into the watchmaker shop to get a new battery for my watch. It didn't take long for him to replace the battery, and we were just kind of chit-chatting as I took care of the bill. He mentioned to me parts of the world that he wanted to travel to when things, quote-unquote, open up again, a phrase we hear bandied about a lot now, huh? Then he responded by saying that I sure hoped the Lord would return before I had the opportunity to do any more major traveling. His response to that really surprised me. He said, I know the Lord is coming, and I suppose that will be a good thing, but I just hope he doesn't come anytime soon. I have too many things I really want to do right now. I can't say that I was shocked, because I wasn't. As a matter of fact, this was one of the more respectful responses I had received when talking about the Lord's return with perfect strangers. But the fact that this man was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and was not looking forward to the Lord's return caused me to go to God to get an understanding for why so many people think this way. So what is our hope? We've been exploring this topic since the beginning of the year here on the conference call fellowship, so you probably all can answer that question. Our hope is not salvation from sin, or to receive power from on high, or to be able to talk to God, or even to manifest spiritual power. All of these things have already been accomplished and made available to us. The greatest element of our hope is for us to receive the full package of our redemption, of which Holy Spirit is but a token. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. And starting in verse 13, it says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So we have already received the Holy Spirit of promise, and that's the down payment. So what is yet to come? That is our hope. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 20. For our conversation, or our citizenship, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, this body of humiliation, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. A big part of our hope is that we will receive new bodies, new bodies. Anybody in favor of a new body? God never intended for our bodies to be stricken with disease, afflicted by viruses, or to suffer crippling traumas. All of this came as the result of sin. And these new bodies of ours will be like the glorious body that the Lord Jesus Christ lived in after his resurrection. A body of flesh and bones that is able to appear and disappear, transcend matter, enjoy food, etc., never to be afflicted by sickness, pain, or death. Another part of our hope is that we will have perfectly renewed minds, never again to have our thought life affected by sin. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In verse 12, it says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known." We will have complete understanding. We will have perfectly renewed minds when the Lord returns. And these are just two things that our hope promises. And here are a few more. We will always be in the presence of our dear Father and be surrounded by His glory. We will be with the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us so much that He literally gave His life so that we could have a hope. We will be with all of the believers who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for the past 2,000 years, our loved ones included, forever. And we will be totally free of the pain and sorrows of this challenging life on earth. Considering these benefits that far outweigh any good things that could happen here on earth, I came to the conclusion that people who are not excited about the Lord's return either, one, don't know what the Word says about it, or if they know what the Word says and still aren't excited, they value the things of this world far more than the things of God, not realizing how temporal the things of this world truly are. The issue of ignorance of the Scripture is one that is easily solved. Ignorance is overcome by teaching, by instruction. We must be mindful to speak the word of truth to help people to know what God has promised regarding the hope of Christ's return. The issue of valuing the things of the world over what God has promised has a different resolution. You know, it's good to recognize that God has provided everything that is pleasurable in this life, even if it is exploited or used in ways that God never intended. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 tells us this. It says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. There it tells us riches are uncertain. But in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. God has given us every good thing. And we are to enjoy those things. He's given them to us to enjoy, but we are not to worship the created thing more than the Creator. The plan of salvation for mankind is something that God authored before time began. It was His dream to have a family who would love Him by their own free will. He wants us to anticipate all that He has in store for us. He wants that so much that He even has a reward prepared for those who love the appearing of Jesus Christ. Let's look at that in 2 Timothy in chapter 4. We'll start in verse 7. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." This is Paul talking at the end of his life. "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." That God would offer a crown of righteousness for those that love the appearing of Jesus Christ means it's a big deal. To desire to stay on earth to accomplish something more in life rather than to joyfully anticipate what God has prepared for us is to desire something that the Lord Jesus hasn't already accomplished for us. is to desire something of our own works. Is that what we truly want? Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And starting in verse 8, it says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." To wait for, that word to wait for is the word anamino, and that is the only occurrence of this word in the New Testament. And it means to await one whose coming is known or foreseen. And it has the added notion of patience and trust. Our Father is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and yet we are to be the demonstration of his goodness throughout the ages. How could we not joyfully anticipate the good things he has in store for us? How could anything that we could accomplish for ourselves in this life ever compare to what God has prepared for those who love him? We are of all people most blessed. And so we realize that God has so much more he wants to show us. There's so much more he wants to do for us, and that is included in our hope. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 30, chapter 30. And in verse 4, it says, "Who has ascended up into heaven? Or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment?" Anybody know someone who's capable of doing this? "Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell?" We know his name and we know his son's name. And we have placed our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I encourage you to continue to joyfully anticipate the return of Christ and to help others to do the same. We don't know when he's coming, but we know that when he appears, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And what a glorious day that will be. You know, I like to end with a song. It's a song by Phillips, Craig, and Dean called "The Concert of the Age," and it's kind of a fun scenario of a concert prepared for the day of the gathering together. What a joyful anticipation we can build for that day, because God has a joyful anticipation for that day as well. He can't wait to welcome us home, and so. I'd like Barney to play that song for us right now.
And all the world's a
Dear Father, we love you so much. And Father, we are so thankful for all that you have done for us in Christ, Father. We never could have done it, even one iota of it on our own. And yet he loved us so much that he did everything you asked him to do so that we could be yours. And Father, we so look forward to the day that we will see him face to face and that we can all be together, Father, forever with you in our new bodies, with our perfectly renewed minds, and Father, with nothing but joy unspeakable to enjoy forever and forever. And Father, that is so much greater than anything we'll ever see on this earth. So Father, thank you for helping us to share the truth of the hope of Christ's return with people so that they too can see that what you have prepared for us in the future far outweighs any good thing that you have given us here in the present, and that the hope is something that burns in our hearts to keep us anchored, Father, until the day that we hear that shout from heaven and that we're all gathered together in the clouds. So thank you, Father, for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.